This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Melinda Pencava.
Sometimes it takes a rainy day just to let you know everything's gonna be
In 1975, that song Waterfall introduced singer-songwriter Chris Williamson to what would become a legion of dedicated fans, many of them women who were discovering the women's movement politically or their own sexual identity as lesbians. The album was the second release from Olivia Records, the first ever women-owned and operated recording company in the U.S. The Olivia Collective, which Williamson founded with a dozen other women in 1973 in Washington, D.C., included singer-songwriter Meg Christian, among others. Well, after the album The Changer and the Changed came out in 1975, the label went on to release albums by other women musicians, including Christian, Holly Near, and Margie Adams. Olivia eventually, though, morphed into becoming a women's travel company. But today, Lady Slipper Music, a Durham-based recording company, continues to record and release material by women artists. And this weekend in Durham, Lady Slipper is sponsoring a weekend of concerts and workshops to celebrate the 30th anniversary of The Changer and The Changed. Chris Williamson will play a sold-out concert Saturday night, and Durham native Teresa Trull will be performing as well, and both are in the studio with us today. And welcome to you both, Teresa and Chris. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You bet.
And you've brought a guitar. Actually, Teresa would normally be playing a guitar as well, but you cracked a rib, so
I did.
You're saving your strength for the performance.
Yes, okay, that's right. But I'll still be singing, not yelling, but singing.
So you'll hear Teresa singing and Chris singing and playing during our show today. And we welcome your calls as well about women's music. The number is 1-877-962-9862. That's 1-877-962-9862. And why don't we start out with a song right now? Chris Williamson is going to perform Songbird from her latest CD, Real Deal.
No more, no less than a songbird on the stage, on the wire, under the lights. No more, no less than a songbird. Help me to make something beautiful tonight till the bird come back. Did you hear her sing? Did you feel her feathers and the brush of her wing? Did she lift your heart up? And did she make you cry with her silver song? Did a bird come back? No more, no less than a songbird on the stage, on the wire, under the lights. No more, no less than a songbird. Help me to make something beautiful tonight. We'll open up tonight. We'll open up and sing. We'll open up with wonder under the sheltering before we head for the homing. Before we all take flight, we'll make a joyful noise. We'll open up tonight. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul, that perches in the soul and sings the tune words and never stops at all, and never stops at all. No more, no less than a songbird on the stage, on the wire, under the lights, no more, no less than a songbird. Help me to make something beautiful tonight. Help me to make something beautiful tonight. Help me to make something beautiful tonight.
Chris Williamson there singing Songbird. That's from her latest CD. It's called Real Deal, and she'll be playing a sold-out concert in Durham on Saturday night. With us as well in the studio is Durham native Teresa Trull, who's also going to be performing.
That's right.
This weekend. We should also say those lyrics owe something to Emily Dickinson, too.
Oh. Yes, they do.
She's a smart, steady, that girl.
Yes, she is. The bridge. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Yeah. It's not the whole of it. There's one more verse that's hers, and most people don't know it, and I myself don't. So, but that particular part of it has been my mantra ever since I first read it. So, yeah.
Do you think Emily Dickinson would have been a good singer-songwriter?
I think she was. I think she was. She never meant for the world to see any of it. You know, she sang in a solitary way, the way birds do, up there in her attic room, and she, you know, tied up her poems with ribbons and put them in a drawer and didn't mean for the world to see them. And her sister-in-law found them after her death and released them, thankfully, to the world, so that we all have those little, you know, pithy pieces that just unbelievably beautiful. You know, I mean, for a person who stayed in her room most of her life, she yet had a glimpse of the entire human condition, as far as I'm concerned. It's possible to do, and a poetic mind can absolutely grasp that.
We are talking today with Chris Williamson and Teresa Trull. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. Want to fast forward about a century or so to the 1970s, which is when you were in a radio interview, and it just kind of, in Washington, D.C., I believe, you were in
That's
a radio
right.
interview, and the idea was just broached about, well, how about a record label for
no,
women
they,
artists?
No, they were saying, what about sexism in the industry? And I'd had limited, you know, information, but I, like most women, I'm happy to share. You know, we share information. That's how we learn. And I said, these were a group of women who were radical, and they were looking for something to do. They were thinking a restaurant, and I'm thinking, oh, that's just what we need, more of those. and so I said, just honestly, out of the blue, why don't you start a women's record company? And the light bulbs around the table, you could just see them. None of us knew. I didn't want to be a record company, certainly. And now I am. I have my own label now, and that's true for a lot of people, women or no, in the industry now. You can create your own, you know, independent spirit as a record company. But the next day they started a record company up in started. It was based in Washington, D.C. to begin with. Then they moved to L.A. And then Teresa.
It was a radio show in North Carolina. Is the only reason why I got a deal with Olivia Records is because a disc jockey from here who did a live show of myself and this one other member from a band we had here in North Carolina sent the radio. I wouldn't even do it. They sent the tape to Olivia Records, and Olivia Records offered me a deal.
And when was that?
That was in 1975.
Well, so you were there at the start as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, 3 years after the very beginning, but yeah, mm-hmm. right at the start, right as soon as they moved to Los Angeles.
Right. So women's music is what we talk about with Olivia Records. So define that,
oh,
if you could,
I wish I could,
for somebody who's coming to this fresh and you know, may have, you know, 30
what it
years,
was,
30
what
years
it
later.
Is, yeah. You know, it's had a really changing look.
The good part of it is that we're sitting here in a room talking about it.
Yeah.
Like it actually exists because, well, it does. At the time when Meg Christian really made up, you know, she went to school in Virginia, mm-hmm. and was the first woman in her small college to graduate with a degree in guitar, classical guitar. And then she, as a musicologist, began having this idea that when women made music with some kind of, I think, awareness and consciousness of women's situation in the world, which wasn't really being addressed, she felt. Well, apparently it was true, because every time we sang, women came up just weeping, saying, you know, I've been waiting and waiting for someone to describe my life. I think it's an internal life. It's not so much external. You know, that's been described by country music forever. And women were really powerful and still are in country music. But everywhere else, record companies would have one woman. And I literally went to those labels and they say, we already have one.
Well, exactly. And there's strength in numbers and identity. And I think that's the whole reason for identifying it as such, because it was the only way a lot of us were going to get a break if we weren't wearing halter tops.
Yeah. So we just went off and made a better game.
Right.
Instead of being turned down endlessly, you know, well, we, you know, and so I just said, let's go make another game that's better.
And then a game for not only that, but side musicians, engineers, you know, you, a lot of opportunities were created.
All this women in this studio, it didn't exist.
Al, that's okay.
It's all right.
Well, he's our token.
Yeah.
At least today. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. We're talking about women's music, it being the 30th anniversary of the Olivia Records album, Changer and the Changed, which Chris Williamson had put out in 1975.
And now it's a Wolf Moon album. It's on my own label.
Right, because Olivia...
No longer
exists as a... What happened?
They became interested in other things that interested them more than being in the music business.
And it was a collective, so that's the way it went.
It was a collective,
The collective ceased about 19. I was in the collective, and the collective ceased about 1980, in the early 80s. It changed and became really more owned by a single person. And that person decided that she wanted a business that could actually operate as a business. You know, because the women's music, as noble as it was not a great moneymaker.
No. Now, did it tend to, when we speak of women's music, I mean, did it tend to be, would it fall into the genre of folk music, acoustic music?
It can.
They're in the rub, because, you know, originally it was a grassroots thing, and grassroots just more often applies to singer-songwriter stuff than that. But like, say, for instance, myself, I was never a folk musician. And so for me, it was tough trying to fit your own identity into this. But thank God for it, or no one would know who I was at all.
Well, we kicked down the doors, and as such, it was a little deer path that I was following. and then, you know, I have to run back and grab people, because they seriously did not see the path. And so I'd run back and I'd say, okay, well, just trust me then. Follow me. So they followed me. And then pretty soon, it's women to women, shoulder to shoulder, which makes a road. You know, now it's a highway, and young women are screaming down that road like it's always been there, because, in fact, in theory, it always is there. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to see it, and somebody has to point it out and make it happen, it visible.
Yeah, now, I mean, I think the whole secret of a term like that, you know, a lot of people have asked me the question, you know, well, why do you feel like there still is women's music? And the truth of it is all of those identity things, like that are involved with a particular group that needs strength and identity, the sign of success is for it to blend into society and to not need it anymore. And I think that women's music, I think at this point, women are quite a force in music, you know. So I think it might be disappearing a little bit, but that's a good thing.
And in a number of genres, I mean, there are women who are fronting bands.
Please.
Exactly.
You know, Madonna comes to mind too. And I understand, Chris, you're an admirer.
Well, what I admire is her chameleon self, which nonetheless, you know, we call it a chameleon. We know that that means the changer and the changed. It means something that has the ability to change its coloration in order to either blend in or stand out. Or you know, sometimes danger makes you do that, you know. And what I love is that nonetheless, even though we say chameleon, we know it doesn't change its shape. It's not a shapeshifter. It's, you know, coloration. She's able to change her coloration, yet we know it's Madonna. No matter what she does, it's that gap-tooth girl, you know, who from Michigan, who now has an English accent and a nanny. You know, she's pretty amazing. And yet what she really wants to be is a singer, and she wants to be taken seriously as such. And I think she works hard on it. It's just, it's so interesting. I think it's less concern about gender. My music, honestly, is less gender-based than people would know.
Yeah.
When in doubt, choose a universal pronoun. That's what I say. Because I'm much more interested, honestly, in the water hole where we all come down to drink, if music is the water.
Exactly.
And then you look around and you see, oh, look, the lions and tigers and bears are here. and they're all different. I don't want to be like them, but I want to share something that belongs to all of us. And that, for me, if I'm going to choose images, I choose universal ones. Words like water, earth, air, fire, water. No matter where you go on this particular planet, which is all we have.
And universal pronoun, too.
Exactly.
Not he or she, because no. I mean, you were out as a lesbian early
on. I didn't
on.
Mean to be.
I know. That's the funny thing.
It was the funniest thing. Now, young women, they aim for it. And there's room for them to do it. And people, women ahead of them who said, oh, for heaven's sake, you know, love who, it's about love. It's about, the importance is who you love and that you love in this world, whether it's a place, a person, a dog, a horse, the weather. It's all about relationship. Have a good one, you know, and have one, or otherwise you're not a good human being. So,
and accept and be open to love in all forms.
In all forms and shapes. Nobody's in charge of that on the earth, no matter what you think. And beware of those who say they are, because they don't know, honestly, any more than we do. The truth is nobody does know what we're here for, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with love. All you got to do is walk into a bookstore. You've never seen so many books in your life on the how-tos of love. And apparently, we don't know how to do it quite very well.
We keep writing songs about them, too.
It takes practice, and you could die from rehearsal.
Yeah, what was that good friend of mine, Chris Williams, that said, all you have to do is live long enough to be amused by your own life.
Yeah.
That's Chris Williams quote for
you
right there.
And be able to give back. You know, I want as much effect on life as it's had on me. That push-pull relationship with life makes what we do, despite my age now, still so vital, because I still don't know. It's why it's called mystery and not fiesta.
You're so smart for 28.
Yeah, bless your heart.
We're talking with Teresa Trell and Chris Williamson. And also on this other issue, you were out very early on. I mean, was there a time when women's music might have been associated with music for women who were gay?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think it did take on that onus. And we just had to shoulder up under it. Mm-hmm. Because, in fact, it was lesbians who were buying the music. In fact, that was the majority of the people who had, you know, the foot on their neck, who were being severely oppressed and suppressed. And, you know, I didn't honestly know. I just opened up the door and said, well, come on. Somebody said to me, you know, it's illegal. I said, oh, please, I suppose suicide is too. And they said, oh, yeah, it is. So I just came to it with an innocence mm-hmm. and a firm belief that you love who you love. And it's, nobody can tell you about that.
And I wonder if a representation of how things have changed mm-hmm. is that there are so many women musicians mainstream who aren't, say, you wouldn't call it women's music, but who are rock performers mm-hmm. or pop performers.
Mm-hmm. Like Katie
Lang and the Melissa Etheridge and the Indigo Girls.
Well, they allowed four of them to enter the big, big world.
You think somebody's at the gate keeping people out still?
Well, it's men's money. Well, follow the money. It's men's money that puts them there and keeps them there. And if that fell away, I can tell you they'd have to be scrambling. Now they have fans. They have people who know about them, but that kind of huge visibility, we did not have that.
No, and we're constantly referred to as the pioneers and the wily old veterans.
Well, we'll continue our conversation with these wily old veterans, Chris Williamson and Teresa Trell. They're in Durham as part of the Lady Slipper Music 30th anniversary celebration of Chris's breakthrough album, The Changer and The Change. Just ahead, more music. With Chris Williamson and Teresa Trell, more conversation, your calls at 1-877-962-9862. All that ahead on The State of Things. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Penkava, and we are talking with singer-songwriters Chris Williamson and Teresa Trull. They will be performing this weekend in Durham in celebration of the 30th anniversary of Chris's album, The Changer and the Changed. It was released in 1975 on the breakthrough record label Olivia Records, which was a record label, the first setup, first independent label setup, run by and focusing entirely on women musicians. Chris and Teresa are with us in the studio, and before we talk anymore, they're going to sing us another song. This is an a cappella song called Pretty Bird.
Fly, fly away, little pretty bird. Fly, fly away. Just fly away, little pretty bird. And pretty, you'll always stay. Love's own tender flame warm this meeting. And love's tender song you would sing. But fly away, little pretty bird, and pretty you always stay. Love's own tender flames warm this meeting, and love's tender song you would sing. But fly away, little pretty bird. For he only clip your wings. Fly far beyond the dark mountain to where you'll be free evermore. But fly away, little pretty bird, where cold winter winds don't
thank you. Teresa Trull singing there, and Chris Williamson here on The State of Things. We are talking about women's music. That is a song that is not on either of your CDs or your collaborations or anything. What's the history of this?
A long time ago, we did a, not that long, but a duet record. I've produced a lot of Chris's more recent records, and I actually, as a producer, had really wanted to produce Chris Williamson. I mean, who wouldn't want to produce that voice? And so I set up this whole thing where I brought her into the studio to sing on someone else's record. And I said, you really should be doing a country record. And she said, well, I'll only do it if you sing with me. So we did this whole concert tour that was just really wonderful behind this CD, Country Blessed. And growing up here in North Carolina, Hazel Dickens and Alice Girard's record, Hazel and Alice, was a huge influence for the women's community here. And we used to open our concert with that song.
Right. Oh, it's a beautiful duet. And the little bird sheeps.
That was for Al.
Yeah.
Al Wodarski is behind the board today. And we are talking with Teresa Trull and Chris Williamson. I want to talk a bit about how you got started in music. And I'll start with you, Teresa. I understand you grew up here in Durham. You went to Duke for a little bit and then went
4 weeks. 4 weeks, precisely.
What kind of degree do you get with that?
I don't know. I had a scholarship in chemistry, so go figure.
Unbelievable.
But I left and joined a rock band after being here for 4 weeks, we went on tour.
There's a history of music.
Yeah. I actually had been in the rock band for a while, but we were going to go on our big tour, so I said, okay, I've got to leave.
So what was the rock band?
Ed's Bush Band. Oh. Actually, here in, I believe, Dave Smith still teaches somewhere in Carrboro. He was a guitar player, but I was 16 when I joined the band. I was really young, and then this was our last fling, this tour I left college for.
And you played guitar in the band?
Or
were you the,
no,
were you the
I
girl
sang.
Singer? You were the girl singer.
I was the girl singer. You know, what's really funny is I was in a talent show at my high school, and these guys came there. They were a little older than I was, and they heard me at the talent show and said, hey, there's something behind your voice. I thought, indigestion. You know, so they hired me, and I really didn't think that my life was going to be music. I was just this completely practical North Carolinian. And when I found out that someone would pay me to sing, that was it. That was my career.
That's great. And how many years ago was that?
That was, gosh, that was at least, I can't add. See, that's my problem. That's why I need to be a musician. I'm 51 now.
She sure
I started help, when I was 16 in that band.
So 35 years ago.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And Chris Williamson, you grew up in South Dakota.
Right. Born in South Dakota, raised in Wyoming, Colorado. Mm-hmm. My dad was in the Forest Service, so we traveled. We moved about, I think Mother said, like close to 40 times. Mm-hmm. And that's radical for most people. They never move. But maybe once or twice, once leaving their parents' home, and then maybe one more time when they get divorced. So, so moving so much, I kind of had that gypsy life about me, which is very handy for being a musician because you're on the road all the time. People say it must be so hard and lonely. I go, you know, maybe something's wrong with me, but I actually love it. Yeah. I love being on the road. I love seeing new people, new cities, and I love the whole bit of it. So.
Well, I read somewhere that you grew up reading a lot. You're reading from an early age, oh, perhaps being in the outback
three.
Of America, if you will. But yeah. Also, I thought this was kind of an odd juxtaposition for somebody, such a figure in women's music. Wolfman Jack
oh, yeah.
played into it.
The prairies. Because at night when the prairies, because you're up 3,000 feet and then and more. I never went below 3,000 feet for years of my life. And then... when the prairies quiet down, because there's nobody in Wyoming, as you know, and the station's there at midnight, you know, the stations are off the air because everybody's supposed to be in their houses. And we'd be out in our cars, and, you know, in junior high and high school, we'd be out, whoever could drive, and you could drive early in Wyoming because there's no one to run into. So you could drive, and we would go out and sit parked out in the night under the stars, and we'd get... Wolfman Jack from XERB in Mexico and also KOMA from Oklahoma City. They had a huge tower. So we could hear rock and roll because in our town you could only get it for 1 hour a day because there was one radio station.
This is in the 1950s or so? Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, in the 60s, yeah. Actually, 50s into the 60s. I graduated high school in 65, which is probably when these women were born, if that. Yeah. And frightening. But it was great because that voice... And he was in Tijuana, Mexico.
Sure. Border radio.
That's it.
Wow.
Border radio. And it affected people all along that border, which actually, you know, the airwaves, I think, is where I was convinced nobody does own them. You know, people claim to own the airwaves. And it's, again, I say, oh, please. Oh, please. I don't think so. It's everybody's. You know, this is the chance to, it's about information. It's about a chance to hear the four chords of rock and roll, which influenced my whole life. And then, you know, piano lessons in little bitty towns of less than 100 people. And
church.
And a lot of church. Like a lot of musicians were raised, it's a place to sing.
Yeah, that's where I learned everything I learned about music was in church.
In choir?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have that huge ceiling. You know, you can learn to sing, and you're not mic'd. So you learn to sing well and loudly. My family sang way too loudly, and in parts. When my little sister pretended not to know us, she would scoot to the end of the pew. And we don't know those people. The singing Williamsons, they're very loud.
That was the other reason why I joined this rock and roll band, because I wanted to learn to sing on a mic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a different thing from singing without being mic'd. Because
absolutely, you know, as well as a great deal of mic technique involved in mm-hmm. any singing amplified.
And Teresa has great mic technique, and just about all my friends do, because we came up that way. You know, not the kind that we hook around your ear and it has something running along your jaw.
That's, we're way too dynamic for that.
We are.
We are. We lay those little condenser mics right down.
Yes, we do. Never to get up again.
So I'm taking it you don't want to take that aspect of Madonna's stage persona of having that actually, little mic.
Actually,
right in front.
I do ride horses and sing with those mics. But that's just because my hands are occupied.
You ride horses and sing with those kind of mics.
Go ahead on. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, tell me about that. No,
I work in horses now. That's my other passion. Yeah. And I do these. We do these exhibitions where we actually sing on horseback and dance with the horses, do like do routines. We actually reconstructed a ballet from the 16th century for UC Berkeley on horseback.
How would that be? Would you be standing on the saddle of the horse?
No, you're sitting, and
the horse
that's
dance
hence,
does the dance.
Hence, you need the Madonna mic.
Oops!
Brilliant. I thought about putting a mic in a holster and flipping it out, but I still need
a mic. Come on.
So this was at UC Berkeley, but would there also be more?
I've done
would it be
it all
at
over
rodeos and that kind of
well,
thing?
Well, no, more at this point at what they call freestyle exhibitions. They're exhibitions of people. I think what people miss a lot in today's world is spectacle. And this actual ballet that we recreated where I didn't sing was actually early music. This is a literal ballet that happened from 1611. So, wow. But yeah, mostly exhibitions for freestyles, which is an Olympic event, actually, dressage, mm-hmm. musical freestyle. Sure. So it's the determining factor for the gold medal in the Olympics. So it's kind of has this, it's very popular in Europe and becoming popular here and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I was riveted myself.
No.
I don't know about you, but I was
riveted. The ballet was written initially for bipeds to do.
Apparently.
No, this was for written for the king in France by his warriors. Dressage originally came from warriors. It's like ballet was originally a martial art and then became a dance because there was no need for it. And that was in this time when when people weren't using horses as much for warfare. And so all this incredible training they put into a ballet, into art.
I think they ought to make those.
Thank you very much.
All the people who join the army now, I think they should.
Ballet.
Yes. And, revive
that would solve
it.
A lot of problems.
Because wouldn't that be a frightening sight? People in tutus, yeah.
Both
coming at you, yeah.
Both sides agree to position two.
Big old honking toe shoes and tutus. That's a frightening thought.
Yeah, just try and lift that tank.
I'm serious. That's it.
Well, great. So we are talking to you because this is the 30th anniversary of Changer and the Changed.
Right.
Which I just have to ask, what for you, Chris Williamson, has changed the most?
Just this, we're sitting here having this conversation where we used to have to, beg.
That it matters.
That it even matters. And that after 30 years, one piece I made, and honestly, what I'm glad about is that I didn't have, underlying motivation other than, boy, I got a lot of tunes I got to offload. Mm-hmm. I was, I needed to write some new pieces, but you can't until you give those a home. I gave them a home. I produced it myself, which means I actually knew something intuitively. Because pioneering work is really hard. It mostly means you have to dismantle the wagon and haul it hand over hand down a cliff and then reassemble it. So what's changed for me is that I'm still able to do the work that I love and have, a lot of respect just for being around this long and having a piece that turns out to be a classic. If you made at least one in your life, that's a great thing.
Can I just say that it's an amazing thing that this record was made and it rang so heartily and so heavily with so many people that you have to realize this record is how old? 30 years old. It's still selling and it sold a million copies without even an ounce of publicity. I mean, who could say that today?
Yeah. And do you think the definition of women's music has changed?
It's broadened. Like, if you want to use the overground, we always talk about the overground and the underground, and it's all water. Water seeks its own level, and we're feeder streams. That's what we are. We've always been feeder streams, but I'm telling you what, the Mother River cannot exist without the feeder streams, who often disappear underground into the aquifer, And women are just rowing mightily down the main river now, anywhere they want to go. All of it goes to the sea. So I don't feel left out of anything. I used to in a way but every time I'd get kind of close to that which I felt left out of, I would get this terrible feeling inside me that this was not where I was supposed to be. So I love flying below the radar. And there's a lot of great company now. I think I'm really glad I followed the little path.
Great. Well, thanks for having that path come to us today. Thanks to Chris Williamson and Teresa Trell.
Hey, thanks for having us, and it's wonderful to hear you.
Chris's concert here in Durham on Saturday night is sold out, but you can find out about other performances and workshops this weekend in Durham at the Lady Slipper Music website at www.ladyslipper.org. And for today, that's the state of things. If you have a comment about our program, our email address is sot@wunc.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Melinda Pankava. Thanks for listening. And we're going to go out today with one more song from Chris Williamson's album, The Changer and the Changed. This song became an anthem for the women's movement. It's called Sister.
Just one.